Good morning, church. God has blessed us with a wonderful day, and it is such a joy to be with you today and to lift up my voice with yours, singing to the true and living God who is worthy to be praised. It's wonderful to look out and see this assembly of people, and it's a good-looking bunch of people. If it's your first time visiting with us here at Livingston, I want you to know you've come on a special day. Because I look out and see that we have faces of friends and some of the college folks that we haven't seen them all summer, but they're back today, and we're so glad that they're here. We have some guests from the community who have been coming with us for a while, and you're today here as well in this family of God, and we're so glad for it. I trust that you are handed a program on your way in, and you're going to discover that on page 3 of that program, there's an interactive outline that you can use. As we study along in the scriptures, we can fill in the blanks and be on the same page. And if I teach anything, if I talk about anything that you'd like to discuss with me after the services, you have a question about that, you may even want to raise an issue. That's fine. I love to make new friends. I'm not going to run away. I didn't even leave the car running when I came up here to preach. I decided I was going to stick around and meet some people, and I'd like to meet you as well. And so you can talk to us and meet us in the foyer in the back, and we're just so glad that you're here. You're a special and honored guest. And it's a wonderful time to open up God's Word and study it now. My Bible is open to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And I encourage you to go there in the Scriptures also. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 812. Page 812. But I want to begin this study together, really where this chapter ends, by reading to you Matthew 7 verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. I think this parable, this story, raises some questions. What foundation are you building your life upon? How is your foundation? Will you choose to build a life upon the foundation of God's Word? Will you follow Jesus? Or do you want to build your life upon a different foundation? It's a question people are dealing with. There was a survey in the United Kingdom came across my desk a couple of weeks ago. Shocking statistic. And what the survey reported, this poll in the United Kingdom, it was revealed that 89%, nearly 9 in 10 of young people aged 16 to 29, quote, believe that their lives have no meaning or purpose. 89% aged 16 to 29 believe that their lives have no meaning or purpose. What a sad statistic that is. What a sobering call for us to consider the meaning and purpose of our own lives, because that outlook leads very quickly to despondency and even to despair. And I'll tell you why it got my attention, particularly because of that age segment, 16 to 29. There are so many young people in this congregation, age 16 to 29. It's a young congregation here at Livingston. You may have picked on that. Picked up on that with some of the opening announcements. We've been praying about one family in particular that's working through an adoption right now, and they're going to another country and bringing those girls home with them. But we have several families here that have adopted small children. We have several families here that are engaged in foster care and foster work. We have several young couples here that are having their babies. One of our elders, Brother Payne, he's always encouraging young couples, have more babies, have more babies. Sure keeps us young. It does keep us young. 16 to 29. Boy, there's a whole lot of life that happens in those years, isn't there? 16 to 29. There's some people going, getting their education, finishing their education. There's some people getting out from under mom and dad's roof for the first time. There's people who are getting married. There's people who become parents before they're 29 years old. I mean, it's just a whole lot of life, ages 16 to 29. And to think that 9 out of 10 of them in another country think that their life has no meaning, has no purpose. You see, it's a matter of foundation. Here are people saying, I have no foundation for my life. Understand that a structure will not get bigger than its foundation. Understand that a structure is no stronger than its foundation.
And the Bible gives you God's foundation. The Bible gives you true meaning and purpose for you to build your life upon. But without a foundation, who's to say what is true or false? Without a foundation, who's to say what's right or wrong? Without a foundation, who can you depend on? Without a foundation, where will you turn when you need guidance or help? Without a foundation, what is the purpose? What is the meaning? Well, apparently a lot of people around this world wrestle with that this morning. And if you're wrestling with these kinds of questions right now, I want you to know you're not alone and you're in the right place. You're with people who love you and who love God, and that's where you need to be. There's a lot of people struggling with this too. I'm asking the question this morning, how is your foundation? And when we come to Matthew chapter 7, and we want to go back now to verse number 1, page 812 in the Pew Bible. We want to go back now to verse number 1. We're going to learn about the importance of the foundation that we're building our life upon. And we're going to begin by seeing how important a foundation is for discernment. Have you found Matthew 7, verse number 1? Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. God's word gives us a sure foundation for discernment. That first verse I read, judge not, lest ye be judged. I think that's probably the one verse that our culture knows. That may be the only verse in the whole Bible that people have a handle on. We're not supposed to judge. Nobody can judge. I think even Jesus taught us, don't judge. But this is a huge foundation question, a huge foundation issue. If you have no meaning, no purpose, you have no foundation, what would be your basis for making a judgment? Any kind of a judgment. And that's what the culture says. Don't be a judge. I want to ask you this. Do you think Jesus really means that Christians better not judge, make no judgments about anything, about anyone, ever? Is that what he's saying? Consider this word with me for a moment that is rendered judge in Matthew 7 verse 1 in most of your English Bibles. And I put a place in the notes. You can write down as little of this or as much as you care to. But it is a word with a variety of meaning as to its application. Most simply put, it means to distinguish. And so it could be judge. It could be condemn. It could be decide. It could be discern. Discernment. And I'll just tell you that in fact, Jesus tells his people make several judgments, several discernments, even in this chapter of Matthew 7. We have to exercise discernment. Matthew chapter 7 verse 6 talks about dogs and swine. That's making a judgment. There's some discernment being exercised there. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, you're supposed to choose whether you want a narrow gate or a broad gate and which way you want to walk. There's some discernment there. There's some judgment there. In Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, you're supposed to make a determination about who's a true teacher that I should listen to and really speaking the word of God, and who's a false prophet, who's a wolf dressed up like a sheep. What kind of fruit is this tree bearing? That's all about discernment. The truth is we do need to exercise discernment. We do need to make some decisions, and there are some things that need to be exposed and even condemned. But how? On what basis? On what foundation? Well, within this context, Jesus has been drawing a contrast. Who do you want to follow? Who do you not want to follow? And the example that he lifts up again and again of who we do not want to follow are the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, he taught his followers, unless your righteousness exceeds, or your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And if you were sitting in that crowd, you would have said, whoa. These are the guys that are like professionally righteous. They're the ones that do it right, don't they? And yet through the fifth chapter, through the sixth chapter, and even in the seventh, he makes it clear. You see, they were good at seeing the speck in another's eye.
But Jesus has been showing they have a plank in their own eye. And oh, regarding so many things. And they were very judgmental. But they had a poor foundation for their judgment. How so? They lacked integrity. How so? They lacked humility. How so? They valued their opinions and their traditions over the Word of God. As they were going to find fault, that's what they were going to find fault about. Their values, their traditions. And the Lord teaches us about judgment, but to do it properly. And to practice discernment then, humbly. In light of our own need for mercy. In light of our own need for forgiveness. There's this wonderful sort of reciprocation that you see in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. Particularly on this theme of mercy. In Matthew chapter 5, one of the Beatitudes in verse 17. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's right. It goes right back around to mercy. Or in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. There's a teaching about forgiveness. And if you will not forgive those who trespass against you, then your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Goes back around to it. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. I need humility. Even here in Matthew 7 verses 1 and 2. By the standard you judge, you will be judged. Think about Matthew 7 verse 12. What we call the golden rule. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Do also to them. You see, bearing these in mind, we have a sure foundation to exercise judgment and judgment with compassion. For God's word is the foundation for discernment. We can trust His word and test all things, including ourselves, by His word. When we're genuine, not play acting. Humble, not self-righteous, proud, and scriptural. I exercise discernment based on what? The Bible says. I don't want to come with my personal value, my opinion, my proclivity. I am a friend to others when I show them what God's word says. When they ask and I tell them, you know, the Bible speaks to that. When they're struggling and there's a pain, you know, the Bible has a medicine for that, has a solution for that. I want to show them the word of God. Because I'll tell you, proper discernment heals yourself and heals your brother. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 3, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Can I tell you what Jesus did not say? Jesus does not teach us to ignore other people, to ignore our brethren. Sometimes people read these words, and I think what Jesus said is, first, take the plank out of your own eye, and then go mind your business. That's what they think. Go ahead and take that plank out of your eye and stop talking to me, leave me alone. That's not what he said. Take the plank out of your own eye so you can what? See clearly. To what? Help your brother. Heal your brother. You see, discernment begins with the reality that none of us are immune to spiritual blindness in some area. And so we start with ourselves. But having checked ourselves by God's word, we are to help a brother. And some people are undiscerning and they're unappreciative of people trying to aid them. Trying to bring some healing to them about some moral issue in their life, some spiritual issue in their life. To them it seems like a speck. They don't appreciate it when people want to try to help them with a speck. But be mindful, there are people who will not appreciate this at all. And that's really how I understand at the end of this paragraph, verse number 6. When it says in Matthew 7, verse 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Jesus is telling us to exercise discernment and recognize there are some people who have no sound judgment and they do not appreciate any. Because he talks about a couple of animals, dogs and pigs. And you don't have to study too much of the Old Testament scripture to know how the Jews and his initial audience felt about dogs and pigs. Not good. Some of y'all are some real dog lovers in here. I'm not trying to offend you. Just talking about the Bible. What's the deal with the dogs? Don't give dogs something holy. If you were to take a lamb and sacrifice it to God on the altar in the temple, and here's this roasted meat, and you tossed it to a dog. It was a holy thing. You tossed it to a dog. Does a dog know the difference between that meat and something he got off of a trash heap? No. I got a dog too. I love a dog. I can feed that dog anything. He is undiscerning, okay? Don't give what is holy to the dogs. They don't care. Don't show precious pearls to pigs. Pig doesn't know the difference between a pearl and an acorn. So what's a pig going to do? Try to eat it. When the pig figures out he can't eat it, what's he going to do? Try to eat you. So he said he'll turn and come after you. You've got an angry pig coming at you. Well, we don't like to use those words about people, and that's not very polite, but understand the truth that Jesus is teaching us here. There are people with who do not appreciate and will not appreciate. They will not tolerate anyone trying to show them truth or help them with something in their eye, some moral or spiritual issue in their eye. And when you try to help and heal a brother, they lash out. When you try to help and heal another, they lash out. When you speak about the word of God to an issue, they lash out. Who are you to judge? Oh, you're the one. You think you're the only ones going to heaven. You're a hater. Hating's bad. You're closed-minded. You're a bigot. You're phobic. Whatever you talked about, you must have a phobia. Because obviously we don't talk about anything, morally or spiritually or otherwise, unless we're phobics. But I'll tell you, for those who respect God's word and have the courage of a brother to speak to them, there's healing. For those who are interested in a foundation for their life, there is healing with proper discernment. With proper discernment, there's protection from false prophets. Protection from false prophets. Go with me a little later in the chapter to Matthew 7, verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. What does the Lord tell us? Not everyone who says that they are a prophet or a teacher for God truly hears God, truly fears God, truly serves God. Rather, they see religion as a means to feed themselves, even if it destroys others' lives. And they can look like they belong. They can talk a talk, but it's a wolf in sheepskin. He says you know them by their fruit, which means you have to make a judgment. You have to be discerning. And it is your foundation or the word of God that allows you to do that. He tells them to test the fruit of their lips. By your fruit you will know them. Listen to their teachings. Does it accord with the word of God? I tell you, the Pharisees, he takes in the task about this throughout Matthew 5. Because again and again you read, you have heard it said, but I say. You've heard it said, but I say. It was all about their teaching. And then he says, not only do you test the fruit of their lips. Look at this fruit. Be a fruit inspector. But the fruit of their deeds, their actions. And again, Jesus goes through some of this in Matthew chapter 6. When he points out, look at the way they give alms. They blow trumpets. It's all about the big show. Look at how they make their big prayers. It's all a farce. It's all a play. It's not genuine. And by their fruits, you will know them. Now, God's people don't have to be paranoid about anyone that comes up to be a teacher or a preacher must be a sheep and wolf, or wolf in sheep's clothing. But we got to be mindful, don't we? Mindful of the attitudes, of the doctrines, of the actions of our spiritual leaders and our teachers, and test them by the word of God. For those who respect God's word and examine their teachers by it, there is protection there. I'm telling you, you need to build your life on the foundation of the word of God, and the word of God is a foundation for discernment. When we hear his word and when we do it, we'll make wise judgments in this life, consistent with the Lord's teaching. But I want to walk on in Matthew 7 with you to talk about the importance and the value of the foundation of your life. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 7, a little earlier in the text, verse number 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Ask, seek, knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. I don't believe that this is talking about different kinds of people. Some people are seeking people, and you know, other people are asking people. They always got a question. This is all the same people. We all are these things, and we all are encouraged to be these things. Even three groups of disciples can be asking, seeking, knocking. Just like when we were studying the Beatitudes, we see they can all apply at once. It is a composite picture of what a disciple is. All three of these actions are involved in being a disciple. Well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? I mean that we are taught here in this place about who we can depend upon. Who is a foundation that we can stand upon, build our life upon, and count upon. And you keep asking, and you keep seeking, and you keep knocking. You're diligently seeking and looking for who? We read it together. It is our Father. Our Father God. Who's better than any earthly father? How do you see God this morning? Because I'll tell you how he is revealed in the scripture. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He is our Father. He is our Father. Ask and it shall be given to you. Prayer is important. But you know, the Lord has already taught us about prayer in Matthew 6. And while certainly prayer is part of this action, these verses aren't telling us all about prayer. It's not some blank check here saying, you ask God anything and God will give you anything that you ask. No. But our God will give us what is good. Here is God compared to an earthly parent, an earthly father. In God's omniscience, he knows what is good for us. It's not always the same as what we're asking for. Yes, these verses teach us about God, a loving father, a better father than you are. And I'm talking to several parents in the room today. I'm talking to several parents who in the last 24, 48 hours have driven hundreds, some of you thousands of miles. Why'd you do that? Oh, because when my kid asks for a fish, I like to give him snakes. Oh, no, you didn't. Because you do anything for your kids. They mean the world to you. You want to have the best opportunity and the best start today. I know. I understand. And he's saying, you think you're here with your kids. You're never going to outlove God on your kids. God's better. And God is your father as well. God is your father as well. Which means you can depend on him. Depend on him. Asking, seeking, knocking. It's showing us that we continue and diligently search for the spiritual, search for God, because we can depend upon God to take care of the physical. Why can I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Because my good father is going to make sure that I have all the clothing, all the food, all the provisions. I can seek him first. And my good father is teaching me, don't build your life all upon those physical things, because they get robbed and they decay and they go away. But he is forever. You see, when we understand who our God is and how good our God is, how he gives to us, how he provides, how we can depend upon him, then it just makes a whole lot more sense about how his children can be golden rule people. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Therefore, you see, our practice of the golden rule, to treat other people the way we desire to be treated, it proceeds from our Father, from our God's generosity. Our Father is giving. Our Father is doing good. Our Father is treating us better and better as we deserve. As much as is in our knowledge and our ability, we only want to be doing good to others. Because we want others to do good to us, we certainly desire God to do good to us. And so we treat others first. We can depend on a loving and a giving Father. We can depend on that. I wonder who can depend on you. Who in their dealings with you can depend? Here's the kind of person who actually lives this golden rule. Doesn't just talk about it on a Sunday morning.
See, if we ask and seek and knock, as Jesus speaks of here, we will always be refocusing our priorities for the spiritual good, looking for our God, following our God. It will bring us to Christ as revealed in His Word, and God will always deliver the good. God is our Father. That's a sure foundation for dependence. Are you building your life on the Word of God? Are you building your life on the relationship with the Father, God? How is your foundation? But I've got a third question for you this morning. And that is, how is your foundation, or what is your foundation, to make a decision? And a decision for God. So we walk through the rest of Matthew 7 quickly. We're going to see that it's all about making a choice. Making decisions. Matthew 7 verse 13. Matthew 7 verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. What are we challenged to do here by the Lord? To decide. I'm going to enter a narrow gate and I'm going to walk a narrow way. To decide. I want the way of life and I'm going to go the way of life. There is a choice to make, and then many smaller ones each day. But the choice is very clear. Enter and walk. Enter and walk. Once you find what God's good will is, because I ask and I seek and I knock, then you want to act on it. Enter the gate and walk and keep walking. He says, but it's difficult. Indeed, it may be a lonely road. The popular one was the Broadway. Many go in thereby. We are called then to endurance and perseverance. Make the choice to walk and keep on walking. Lest we lose heart and are pulled away back to a broad road because it looks so easy. And there were so many over there and our heart's breaking for them sometimes. And so we just want to go be with them for a while. Brother Bob, oh, you were blessed if you were here at 9 a.m. this morning to hear this message about the church in Revelation, church at Sardis. And as he was talking about the bright, bold lines, the standards, what it means to be a Christian and operating within that way. Bright, bold lines. Bright, bold lines. Narrow gate. Difficult way. It's a powerful message, Bob. Powerful. Powerful. And it's what we're talking about here. You got to choose to go and to walk it. Lest you get weary and discouraged. You got to choose to walk it. Lest we sit down and quit. You see, a disciple's life is not fulfilled because we found the narrow road. Some people will treat baptism like that's the end-all be-all of the Christian life. I got baptized. That is the beginning. That's the beginning. I've been immersed for the forgiveness of my sins. I'm a new creation. And now we walk. Now we walk. We must decide to choose the Lord. His narrow gate and walk that way. It is the way to life. We must decide to do the will of the Father. Again, it is a call to decision. And what's the foundation for your decision? In Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Matthew 7 verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Decide to do the will of the Father. Because what we are taught in this verse is that to obey the Lord is to know the Lord. Here's people who have him identified correctly. In this picture of judgment, Lord, Lord, and he is that. And here's people who have been very busy in the name of the Lord. Did we not do this? Did we not do the other? We're busy, busy people. I know you. I'm serving you. And the Lord says, I never knew you. I don't know you. How can you not know me? Because you didn't do the will of the Father. When you do the will of the Father, when you obey the Lord, that's when you have relationship with the Lord. That's when you know the Lord and He knows you.
No, Jesus is not impressed with them. In fact, as they recount all of their deeds for him, he refers to them as those who practice lawlessness. But who does Jesus know? The ones who do the will of the Father in heaven. If you want to know the Lord, you obey the Lord. If you don't obey the Lord, you don't know him. If you don't know him, then he is not your Lord. Jesus is talking about obedience here, but it is a decision. You decide, I'm going to do the will of the Father. And then we get then to this parable where we started. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, we must decide to hear these words of Jesus and then do them. It's really the same decision, talked about in three different ways. But here we are in verse 24 again. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Oh, it's a good foundation there. The Lord teaches us about a wise builder. Why is he wise? Because he listened good to the sermon? Well, that was half of it. Because he listened and he obeyed the sermon. Because he heard the word and he did the word. See? Sometimes you don't read this parable too quick and say, oh, okay, the foolish builder is the guy that never heard anything. He's just out in the world. That's not actually the difference. They both hear the word of Jesus. What's the difference? Some of them choose to build on another foundation, a foundation of sand, when they ignore, when they spurn the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we call that? That is disobedience. There's just not a substitute for obeying the word of God. Responding to Jesus' teaching, affirming it, practicing it. There's a foundation for life. And notice this too. Your storm's going to come. Whatever you want to build your life upon, this rock, this sure foundation of God and his word, or something else. You want to go the way that says, well, life just has no meaning and there's no purpose. Whatever you want to build your life on, the storm comes. It's coming for the obedient, the disobedient. And often we use an expression. We talk about all the storms of life. They're battering us now. The hard things are happening now. But I'll tell you that our faithful obedience to Jesus, it gets us through whatever the challenge and circumstance. But you know what? Even if your life is charmed, even if you woke up this morning and say, oh, I got problems. My feet don't fit in my diamond shoes. Oh, I've got so many problems. All God's children's got problems. And mine is there's not enough rainbows. Some people have lives like that, at least from the outside looking in. It seems like they have lives like that. Do you know that their storm is coming too? Your storm is coming too? Because all of us will know this time, this moment, this day of judgment. That day. On that day when you see the Lord. On that day when you'll be calling to him. Does he know you? On that day, the wind and the storm and the torrent and the testing, it's judgment. And I will tell you that a sure foundation for a decision today is the reality and the truth of God, who is our Father, will also be the judge. And that the word of Christ is our guide and the word of Christ is our standard. And one day, what you did with it, what you did with God, what you did with the Bible, how you built your life, that's going to be judged. The foundation gets tested. Is it sure? Is it sure? I'm asking this morning, how is your foundation? And I appreciate so much your good attention as we looked at Matthew 7 together. If you want to put your notes away and put your Bibles away, Brother Ryan's going to come and lead us in another song. Song of encouragement. How is your foundation? There's so many things in this life that are just a little bit out of our reach and beyond our control. But isn't God good to us? That the decision that means the most, he gives us a control of that. A call by the gospel and an invitation to confess Jesus as the Son of God and to put him on in baptism. And you have the choice to believe. You have the choice to obey. He gives you full integrity with that choice and he will respect it. You build your life. You choose a foundation. How's your foundation? If we can help you this morning to build your life on Jesus Christ, to put him on in baptism, we want to do that. If you're here this morning reading these scriptures and you realize, yeah, I've got a life going, it is not on a sure foundation. Repent. Be restored. If we can pray for you, encourage you with any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?